Hey, Unnaturalists, I'm Andy, and welcome to Unnatural. Ryan is out this week, but she should be back with me again next week for a fresh new episode. But I wanted to come on quick and share the news, in case you haven't heard, about the Apple River stabbing trial. Now, of course, last week we covered the events that led to the trial, and if you haven't heard that episode, I highly encourage you to do that so you can kind of get a better idea of what took place. But just to jog your memory, let's have a quick recap. In July of 2022, Nicolae Miu of Prior Lake, Minnesota, formerly of Romania, was out with a group of friends floating down the Apple River in the state of Wisconsin. One of his friends accidentally dropped their cell phone in the river, and Nicolae went to retrieve it with his scuba gear. It was at that moment when the fates of multiple people's lives changed forever. While looking for the cell phone, a group of teenagers came upon Nick, accosted him, taunted him, and brutally teased him with a mob-like mentality. In the video, which you can find on YouTube, it's clear that he's in distress, but he does have ample time to free himself of the situation. He's pushed down and ultimately stabs five of the teenagers, wounding four and killing one. 17-year-old Isaac Schumann of Stillwater, Minnesota. Nicolae Miu's highly publicized trial began a few weeks back and concluded with a unanimous verdict this past Friday. In this episode, we'll cover the trial, the verdict, and the likely aftermath of the Apple River stabbing. Going to do something a little bit different in this case than from our previous episodes. Usually Ryan or Emily is along with me. I tell them a story, they react to it, and we give our thoughts and opinions on it. In this case, the trial was televised. We have all of the audio from the trial. And what I did was pick out some of the appropriate audio to play for you guys. Of course, we're going to hear the verdict here. We're also going to hear from Nicolae Miu himself, who took the stand in his own defense, which is a rarity in murder cases. Typically, the defendant does not take the stand. In fact, they are usually advised against doing so. But he did and had some very interesting things to say. Also taking the stand was Isaac Schumann's mother in a very emotional testimony. Isaac was the 17-year-old who ultimately died that day in July of 2022. One of Isaac's best friends, who attempted to give Isaac life-saving measures that day on the riverbank, also gave a very emotional testimony, and we'll hear from him in just a few moments. But first, I thought it was only fitting that we start with the open. And here are some of the key points from the prosecution and the defense in their opening statements. We'll hear from the defense first.
Nick Miu standing in the river with 13 strangers. 13 drunk, angry strangers. 13 against one. They yelled and they screamed in order to attract a crowd. They got a crowd. They told lies to make the crowd angry. He's looking for little girls. He's looking for little girls. They layered their lies. They made them louder to make the crowd more angry. He's a predator. He's a predator. They chanted. They pulled on him. They closed the space around him. They got up in his face and they pushed him. Somebody else pushed him, and they pointed, and they pushed, and they pushed, and they pushed. And when he put up his left hand, to block and protect himself as they're in his space, in his face, he puts up his left hand to protect himself. And then they got violent. They knocked a grown man, punched him, knocked him into the water. And when he's down in the water, they come up on him and they hit him again when he's down in the water. When he tries to get up out of the water, they attack him from the front, smack him across the front of the face, while somebody else comes from behind and starts pushing him down. In that moment, he feared for his life. And he responded in self-defense.
That's one of Nikolai Mew's defense attorneys, Aaron Nelson, with his opening statement. And the picture he painted there would be a theme throughout the trial. The fact that Nikolai Mew was defending himself, that he was backed into a corner, that he was being bullied and harassed and called names that no one should ever be called. The prosecution took a different angle, as you may expect. They said it wasn't self-defense. They said that Nikolai Mew could have left the situation at any time and avoided this senseless tragedy. This is lead prosecutor Carl Anderson.
Senseless and horrific acts of violence when all Nikolai had to do was walk away. That's what you're going to see in this case. You'll see he eventually did walk away, but not until after stabbing 5 people. You're going to hear in this trial that Nikolai said it was self-defense. But there's a video of what happened. You're going to see the video. You're going to see the sequence of events. You're going to hear a lot in the video. You're going to hear people yelling at Nikolai over 20 times, some version of, get away, go away. You hear the boys, the teenagers yelling, get away from us, get the fuck away, get back, get away from us, walk away. You're going to hear that there's another group of tubers, adults, who hear this and come over to help the boys. You're going to hear them yelling, go, get your ass and go, go, get your ass and go, 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 go. You're going to hear that Isaac's group and the group of adult tubers, I'll probably refer to them as the Carlson group throughout the trial, didn't know each other, still don't know each other. You're going to hear from both of those groups testify about what they saw. You're going to hear that there's 6 victims in this case. One that was punched, 5 that were stabbed. And you're going to hear from all those victims except Isaac Schumann. That's because on July 30th of 2022, Nikolai Mew killed him. It was the summer before Isaac's senior year of high school. He was living in Stillwater, Minnesota with his mom, stepdad, brother, and stepsister. He was looking forward to going to college after high school. On July 30, 2022, it was a nice day. Weather was in the 80s, perfect sunny day for tubing. You'll see body cam, but it was busy. There's a lot of tubers on the river. Isaac was tubing with 5 of his best friends. The other group you hear a lot about is the Carlson group. The only one who was stabbed out of Isaac's group was Isaac. The rest of the people stabbed and punched were from the Carlson group. Riley Madison was stabbed. Dante Carlson was stabbed. AJ Martin was stabbed. Tony Carlson was stabbed. Madison Cohen was punched.
So the case has been laid out, 2 very different sides here. And then we began to hear from some of the people who were impacted. And one of those impacted most was one of Isaac Schumann's best friends. Alexander Vang was out with the group that day, and after Isaac was stabbed, he attempted to save his life.
Were you injured in any way?
No.
Did Mr. Yu do anything to you?
No, he didn't do anything to me.
All right. Did you ever lay a hand on him?
No.
At some point, did you realize that Isaac Schumann had been stabbed?
Yes.
Did you actually see that happen?
I didn't see the action of him getting stabbed, no.
When did you first realize that he had been stabbed?
I noticed he got stabbed when he fell into the water.
Right. Were you near him when that happened?
I was close. I was a couple feet away from him.
What did you see on Isaac as he fell into the water? And I know this is hard.
So when he fell into the water, I knew he was holding the left side of his chest. And so when I picked him up, I noticed he had a huge gash in his chest that was bleeding out.
Did you, once you realized that Isaac was injured, did you go to him?
Yeah, I immediately grabbed him, saw that he was injured and wasn't able to completely move, and that's when I decided I needed to hold pressure onto the wound and drag him to the shore.
Did you do that?
I did.
At some point, did some folks stop to help you care for Isaac?
Yeah, some adults came by and helped us out.
Did you, were you present while they were trying to render aid to Isaac?
Yes, I was.
Eventually, did EMTs and police arrive on the river?
They did.
Did you see them take Isaac off the river?
Yes.
Did you follow?
Yeah, my sister and my brother-in-law picked me up and drove me to the hospital where he was getting sent to.
While you were at the hospital where they brought Isaac, did you speak to police?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember if you spoke to police on the side of the river as well?
Yep.
Did you tell them what happened?
Yes.
That's one of Isaac Schumann's best friends, Alexander Vang. Obviously, that's going to be something that affects him for the rest of his life. But perhaps no one was more affected than Isaac Schumann's own mother, who also took the stand.
When was the last time you saw Isaac alive?
The morning of July 30th, before he left.
Did you know he was going to go tubing with friends?
Yes.
How did you know that?
Well, he originally told me in the morning that he was going to go golfing. And with his friend. But his friend had to work. He ended up having to work, so they were going to golf later that evening. And so I was out on the deck having coffee with my sister-in-law, and he came out and said, some of the guys are going tubing on the river, and I think I'm going to do that until we can go golfing. And I said, okay. And the way I said okay wasn't like I was super excited about it. And he's like, why? And I said, well, I was going to ask you to pick Dad up from the airport. Dad got a flight home. And he said, I can pick Dad up. And I said, no, just go have fun with your friends on the river.
Did you know who Isaac was going with to them?
Yeah. He said they were meeting up at the high school and that Alex was driving. And I said, okay, don't forget your sunscreen. And I grabbed it and... I put sunscreen on his ears.
And at some point, did you learn what happened?
Yes, so then my sister-in-law and I went down and they had lunch downtown Stillwater. And then my husband had taken an Uber home from the airport and he was gonna meet us down there. And we were waiting for him. And I got a call from Owen's phone. And I thought, maybe Isaac's phone went dead or he lost it or something. And so he was calling me from Owen's phone. But Owen called screaming that Isaac had been stabbed. And he gave me the pin drop of where to get to, and my husband was just pulling up, and I ran out of the restaurant and hopped in his car, and we got there in, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes.
What happened when you got there?
Well, we followed the ambulances, and I just went running, and I ran up into one of the ambulances, thinking that it was Isaac sitting up in there, and I started crawling into the ambulance, and I realized it wasn't Isaac, it was one of the other kids. So then I climbed out, and then I looked, and I saw Isaac's hair laying on the riverbank, and I knew it was him. And they were trying to perform CPR on him.
Did you go to Isaac?
Yeah, I ran to Isaac.
And when you got to Isaac, was it clear he was already deceased?
Yes.
Mr. Shroffison?
I have no questions for Mr. Davis.
Thank you. You may step down.
That's testimony from Alina Hernandez, the grieving mother who lost her 17-year-old son, Isaac Schumann. She had three kids. Isaac was the youngest, and I think it's safe to say she has a long road ahead of her. Coming up, in a move that shocked almost everyone, Nikolai Mew took the stand in his own defense. But through cross-examination, the prosecution picked out some inconsistencies in his story. And also, we'll hear the unanimous verdict that was read just last week. Nikolai Mew took the stand in his own defense, and his testimony was hours and hours long. I really would encourage everyone to check it out for themselves, and we'll put links in our show notes. But there are a few key moments that I wanted to point out here. In this first clip, attorneys ask Mew why he took out his knife, along with how many times he had been struck.
Why did you take out your knife at that point?
I was beginning to be afraid.
And what was it about that moment where everybody is that made you so fearful that you took out your knife?
I was surrounded.
What's happening to you there?
I'm getting hit on the head.
How many times at that point is your memory of watching the video and your memory of experiencing this? Have you been hit in the head now, but either by people or by the ground or by the water?
four times at least.
Now, the second clip is from when Nikolai Mew was being interrogated right after the murder. And the prosecution played this in the courtroom, trying to make the point that Nikolai Mew lied. And you'll hear that in the recording. He talks about the knife not being his.
So what happened? Can you tell me what happened?
Yeah. Four people went to the hospital with injuries.
Oh my God.
And one person died.
Oh no.
I don't know any of their names and I don't know any genders, so I don't
know. Was that because they fought each other or is that?
I don't know. I don't know what their injuries are.
No, my whole life is down the tubes.
Well, I don't know if that's the case. Because people have the right to defend themselves.
I know, but this is Wisconsin.
This is Wisconsin.
Okay. You continue on. I usually know that people that defend themselves, they end up being accused of being this and being that.
Well, I think if you'd asked me what I would have done.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would have been scared shitless, I can tell you that.
When that many people tried to pull your pants down and hit you, and two boys had knives on them, they didn't find any of those two knives?
I don't know. But we're looking. And, you know, we're looking before it gets dark out.
I'm glad I actually took that kid's knife. He would have stabbed me. He was not there to scare me. He was there to harm me. At least I'm here. But I'm sorry for how it ended up. Still scared, like I said. I'm scared that they're going to be finding out where I live, and they're going to be hunting us at night, and they're going to be hurting my wife.
Well, I will call Sandy Sinzavika, okay, and just check in on her.
You said I grabbed it, meaning the knife, from him because he tried to poke me with it. Do you remember saying that?
Nope.
That's Nikolai Mew being interrogated directly after the murder and clearly not owning up to the fact that it was his own knife. Now, later he would admit that it was his knife, and he would say to attorneys that the reason he made that up was simply that he was afraid. After Nikolai's own testimony came the closing arguments. Let's hear from both the defense and the prosecution.
What happened on July 30th, 2022 is a group of drunk teenagers led by the ringleader, Juwan Cockfield, saw an opportunity to torment a man who was by himself. They taunted him. They called him names like raper and pedophile and predator. They did this for no legitimate purpose. When they did this, they're yelling and carrying on. It attracted the attention of another group.
Absolutely senseless and horrific acts of violence. And all Nikolai Mew had to do was walk away. All he had to do was walk away. That's what you've seen in this case. You saw he told Lieutenant Hart, "They told me I can't run away." Obviously not true. Think about the result of his actions. Everything you've seen in this trial, the horrific injuries, the death of Isaac. Why didn't he just walk away? If the boys are a threat, why does Nikolai run up on them? And clearly he knows they're not a threat to him. When he ran up on them, grabbed their tubes standing over them, they did nothing. They didn't kick up at him, they didn't punch at him, they jumped out of the tubes and moved away from him. He knows they're not a threat to him. They're mocking, saying cruel things, but not violent.
And that brings us to the verdict. It was a short deliberation, and it was read on Thursday, April 11th.
All right, we are back in session on the record in State of Wisconsin versus Nikolai Mew. The attorneys are present with Mr. Mew. 12 jurors are in the courtroom. Did your jury reach a verdict?
Yeah.
Did you reach a verdict on each of the six counts?
Yes, we did.
Okay, please hand the verdict forms to the bailiff. The verdicts read as follows. As to count one of the information, Isaac Schumann, the jury finds Nikolai Mew guilty of first-degree reckless homicide as submitted. Question, did Mr. Mew commit the crime while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes. As to count two of the information, Alexander Martin, the jury finds Nikolai Mew guilty of first-degree recklessly endangering safety as submitted. As to count three of the information, Dante Carlson, the jury finds Nikolai Mew guilty of first-degree recklessly endangering safety as submitted. As to count four of the information, Anthony Carlson, the jury finds Nikolai Mew guilty of first-degree recklessly endangering safety as submitted. As to count five of the information, Riley Madison, the jury finds Nikolai Mew guilty of first-degree recklessly endangering safety as submitted. As to count six of the information, Madison Cohen, the jury finds Nikolai Mew guilty of battery as charged.
So there it is. We talked about this in the last episode, that this could go either way. And the way it swung was Nikolai Mew being found guilty on all six charges. But if you noticed, there was a bit of a change there. Initially, Nikolai was charged with intentional homicide. That got reduced to reckless homicide. It might not sound that significant, but once the sentencing comes, that will come into play in a big way. Nikolai's attorneys, along with the attorneys for the prosecution and Isaac Schumann's family, all spoke afterward, and we'll put some of those clips in the show notes. I have yet to find out if any of the jury has spoken out, but the judge did say they are welcome to do so. Nikolai's sentencing date has yet to be scheduled, but Carl Anderson, the chief prosecutor, did say that he could face up to 97 years in prison. Whether or not that gets reduced or whether or not there's an appeal, we'll let you know. But I would be very curious to hear what you guys think of this case. Did they get it wrong or did they get it right? Should Nikolai Mew spend the rest of his life in prison? Let us know over on our socials. You can find us on Instagram at Unnatural the Podcast. Check us out on Facebook, Unnatural, a True Crime Podcast. Or send us an email on the case or any case you would like us to cover. unnaturalthepodcast@gmail.com. Make sure to like, follow, and give us those five-star reviews on Apple and Spotify. And also, make sure to buy Emily's new book, Behind Someone Else's Door. You can find it on your Kindle or on Amazon. Like I said, Ryan's going to be back with myself next week, where we have a brand new case for you. Until then, be sure to make good choices and don't get got.
I'm Nick Fitting. Andy.
Are you intrigued by the dark side of things like murder, kidnapping, and sex cults? What about when the criminal is your favorite musician or actor or director or writer? Hollywood might look like all glitz and glamour until you take a closer look. But I'll tell you one thing, that kind of point of view can make you more vulnerable. From Roman Polanski to Mackenzie Phillips to Judith Barcy to Kurt Cobain, some are predators and some are prey. I'm Dee Dee West, and I just might ruin your childhood. Follow my podcast, Broken Limelight, where I cover celebrity true crime stories. For more information, visit BrokenLimelight.com. Again, that's Broken Limelight. Follow it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts.